Our gospel reading for today says a lot about being human and about being God, who God is for us. Jesus is in the house of a community leader, Simon, a Pharisee, a religious leader. A woman comes in and washes his feet with her tears and her hair. She kisses his feet and anoints them. She is broken open before Jesus and in front of everyone. Simon immediately judges the situation, the woman, and Jesus, and concludes that they are all wrong. Right? All wrong. The woman's a sinner. Jesus should know better if people, based on what people are saying about him, if he is who they say he is. In this beautiful account of Jesus and the unnamed woman, we have the stuff of vulnerability, shame, forgiveness, judgment, and a new creation. Vulnerability. Who likes feeling vulnerable? What is the gift and promise of vulnerability? What is the grace known and experienced when we are open and real about who we are, how we hurt, who we love, and all of it? More and more in faith communities, we hear about the necessity of being vulnerable and the strength and courage involved in being so. Many in the Episcopal Church are reading and listening and studying the words of the message of Brené Brown, who has become known for her work in this realm of authenticity and vulnerability, primarily through a TED Talk, which has now been viewed over 25 million times. Brown is a professor and a trained therapist. She calls herself a vulnerability researcher. She shares the good news that rather than being a weakness, vulnerability is a measure of courage. A measure of courage. Brown states that vulnerability is the birthplace of innovation, change, and creativity. I think Jesus would agree, as today's gospel makes clear. But that is not the message we get from our culture. My dad has taken to sending me and my sister links to articles from the New York Times online. Recent ones include Making a Case for Eating Fat and Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person. I appreciate what he shares. This is kind of a new thing for him and us. He just started doing this about a year ago, and I'm always curious what he's going to send because I think it says something about what he thinks about my life and my sister's life, what's going on. Just last week, he sent one entitled, "Unless You're Oprah, Being Yourself is Terrible Advice." This article really got my attention in relationship to today's gospel and in considering vulnerability. Well, you won't be surprised to know that the author of that article was not in favor of being vulnerable. He's coming at life from the perspective of, we know what we want, and to get it, we need to be what we need to be, whether that's who we are or not. And I'm paraphrasing his whole article in those words, but that's really what he's saying. But even more than that, he's confusing authenticity with something else, and it made me wonder how many of us might do that. He writes, "A decade ago, the author A.J. Jacobs spent a few weeks trying to be totally authentic. He informed a friend's five-year-old daughter that the beetle in her hands was not napping, but dead. He told his in-laws that their conversation was boring. you can imagine how this experiment worked out. There are some other examples I didn't give because they're a little more R-rated. Even though the author of this article quotes Brené Brown on authenticity as being, quote, the choice to let our true selves be seen, I don't think he knows what Brené Brown's talking about, as true authenticity requires vulnerability, which the man who's telling everyone what he thought was not showing. This man telling the child that the beetle is dead is a lot like Simon, the Pharisee from our story today. Simon evaluated the situation and was determined to name names and pass judgment on the woman and on Jesus. We learn about Simon by what he says, just as we learn about that man and the beetle, but Simon and that man, they're not being vulnerable. In a sense, Jesus makes this point by comparing Simon's actions with those of the woman. Simon does not go out of his way to show hospitality to Jesus. Yes, he invited Jesus into his home, but he does not invite Jesus into his heart. Jesus says to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." Do you see this woman? Do you see how one who knows oneself, knows herself, and knows oneself to be forgiven, shows great love, great gratitude? Do you see her? Jesus sees her and loves her. The woman is letting herself be seen, being vulnerable, daring to break all the rules to be herself in front of Jesus. Jesus sees her. He has compassion, empathy. And in that, being seen and loved, this heals the woman. Do you see her, Simon? Simon does not want to see her, doesn't need to see her. And perhaps Simon does not want to be seen. The title of one of Brené Brown's books is Daring Greatly: How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. Daring Greatly. This is what this woman did, and her life was transformed. How are we being called to dare greatly? How can we open ourselves to be seen by God and by others? Of course, God already knows us intimately, but when we are vulnerable with God, being who we are with God, praying about every aspect of our lives, we find that closeness that is always there, that God is with us. We experience God in the midst of our fears, our troubles, our joy. We experience this love, this compassion that God is always wanting us to know. The woman washing Jesus' feet, her life was transformed. We don't know exactly what happened after this encounter with Jesus, but we can imagine that any shame she had was gone, any guilt gone. M.J. Holton, commenting on this scene, writes that Jesus is offering more than forgiveness that simply wipes the slate clean. Jesus' forgiveness lifts the burden of shame to give her value and worth in spite of how unworthy she feels. This kind of forgiveness allows us to release the moments in time when we feel like failures to ourselves, our families, or God. Brené Brown tells us that guilt is a focus on behavior, what I did wrong. Shame is a focus on self, I am bad. Shame is never helpful. Shame lives in secrecy, silence, and judgment. The antidote to shame is empathy. Simon would have judged and condemned that woman all night, the next day, and the day after. Again and again, he would have condemned her and judged her, but Jesus is so different. Jesus sees her and has empathy for her, compassion and love, which frees her, gives her freedom. So who do we want to listen to, Jesus or Simon? Who do we want to be like, Jesus or Simon? As Brené Brown states in her second TED Talk, which is specifically on shame, the first one being on vulnerability, she says, "Shame says you're not good enough. Who do you think you are?" That sounds like Simon, doesn't it? Simon even said that about Jesus. We can get a little Simon in our heads from time to time, or maybe in the past, or maybe in the future. And when that happens, if that's happening, empathy is the answer from another person, a trusted friend, a therapist, a member of the clergy, and certainly from God. Jesus sees this woman. He recognizes her desire for closeness. He sees her vulnerability. He sees it because he was living that vulnerability, authenticity. Simon chose distance. The woman chose closeness. God chose closeness. God chose to be known to us, to be close to us, by becoming vulnerable. God desired closeness and desires it with us so much that divinity entered humanity in the flesh, in Jesus, in a special way, allowing God, the creator of the universe beyond our understanding, allowing God a way to connect with us, to be with us, to come close to us, long ago and today. So when we are feeling down in any way, who do we want to listen to? The Simons in our lives or in our own minds, or Jesus, who sees us, knows us, loves us, upholds us, and sets us free? Amen.